Welcome to our podcast this Friday evening. I'm so glad that you're able to join us here. We are here together, Benji, Julie, and I. We are here to talk with you about remnant things, because God is waiting for his remnant to mature. He's waiting for his remnant to grow up so that they can do the things that are necessary so that Jesus could come back. That's what it's all about. It's about bringing Jesus back. Jesus said, "Behold, I come quickly." He hasn't come yet, so that must mean there's things to be done. And we want to uncover those things and do those things so that he could return, because there is nothing that will not be infinitely better in our lives once he returns. Nothing. Yes. And so with that being said, as I came into the room, the Lord put something on my heart to talk about. And so I sat down and I said, "Hey," I said, "this is what I believe God wants to talk about today." And and what it was, as I walked in, I began to think about how so many people, and as always, you all just jump in, but so many people ascribe power to the enemy that is unnecessarily given to him. And what I mean by that is this, is we know the devil is a liar. He's the father of lies. We know the devil has come to kill, steal, and to destroy. We know the devil is the adversary. The Bible calls him the adversary. He's the one that wants to bring destruction. At the same time, God has given his children that are walking in the power of his blood covenant, the way Abraham did. Mm-hmm. He has given them everything they need to defeat and to destroy the works of darkness. And I remember my dad used to say it this way. He said, "There's nothing that Jesus had at his disposal that we don't have."
Right.
Everything he had, he came to show us what we can do. And he even said, "You're going to do greater things." So then the question it comes up, well, then how come the devil runs rampant? Forget the world. I'm talking about in the church. How come he runs rampant in the church? How come there's as many or more people in the church that are walking in sickness and torment and all kinds of just bad, dark things? How come the devil runs rampant in the church? But it's because one of the main reasons is, again, you know, I get on here every Friday, or I minister Sundays and Wednesdays, that God expects certain things from his people. He expects certain things. He requires. God is a God that requires. That's not what this podcast is about. But I need you to know and to remember that God requires. Go listen to any message I speak, and you'll get an understanding of that. God requires. And because God requires, then that means that if we're going to put the devil in his place of defeat, we've got to first intentionally do what God requires of us. So that's the first thing that needs to be understood. But you see, what we do is we ascribe so much power to the devil that we put ourselves in a position of, it doesn't matter what I do, the devil's going to cause this havoc in my life if he wants to. And so it doesn't matter what I do. And once we get to that place of it doesn't matter because the devil's going to do what he's going to do, then all of a sudden you live like it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. And once you begin to live like it doesn't matter, then you've opened the door to the devil.
He convinces you that there's nothing else you can do.
That's right. And you see, once you open the door, and listen, I'm making it very general just for the purposes of this podcast. But boy, the devil, he's so slick, and it's so nuanced how he does things. He finds little doors. He uses the little foxes. Bible says the little foxes spoil the vine. He uses little things to calls us to open the door.
To veer off into another direction.
That's right.
In
that's
such
right.
Just a little. Very small way. And right from the start, it doesn't seem, you can still see the path. You're walking right next to the path. But as you veer a little further, eventually you're not going to be able to see the path at all.
And that's right. Mm. And the whole purpose of us talking about it is that the devil knows there's only so much that God allows him to do. Mm-hmm. You have to believe that. If you don't believe that God's in control, then are you even a Christian? I mean, at that point, are you even a Christian?
The book of Job makes that very clear.
It does. And I almost brought that up.
Right from
and
the
I
start.
Said, well, I don't have time to get into it, but you're right.
That's true.
But you're right.
But we have to be able to think of those.
God is in control. And he only allows, again, to reference my dad, because, again, we learned so much from him when he was here. But he always used to say, God has the devil on a chain. And he God knows when to jerk him back. Here's the trouble. God having the devil on a chain is worthless if you decide to get in so close that the chain doesn't matter anymore. Mm-hmm. When you open a door for the devil, then all of a sudden, all of that is out the window. All of a sudden, it doesn't matter anymore. Once you've given in to the thought, well, the devil can do what he wants to do, all of a sudden you begin to do little things in your lives that open the doors for the devil. And once he convinces you that he can do what he wants, and you better just, I talked a couple of nights ago at church, I talked about the FOMO spirit in the church, the fear of missing out, how so many Christians have such a fear of missing out. Well, if I don't go on all these vacations, I might one day be too old to do it. I might not have money to do it. If I don't go and experience all these different things in my life, if I don't
do all of the activities with my children,
that was what I was going
to
say.
Then my children, this is prime time to spend time with my children.
If I don't put my
then they're not gonna stay with me.
If I don't put my son in football, if I don't put my daughter in softball, whatever it is. I'm just throwing things out there. Gymnastics. If I don't do that and follow them around, it's going to ruin their lives. And in turn, like she said, they're not going to want to be with me. None of those things matter. The only thing that matters is pleasing God.
Right.
That's the only thing
right.
that matters.
Right.
And it doesn't please God when there's anything that pulls you away from his anointed house, pulls you away from honoring and pleasing him, that pulls you away from walking under that blood covenant that Abraham walked in. There is nothing. And you say, well, I can do it myself. No, you can't do it yourself. The Bible says every man has to work out his own salvation. But what that means is you have to choose to do it the way God wants you to do it. Mm-hmm. And that's not at your kitchen table. It's just not. And so what the devil does is he says, there's only so far I can go, but I need them to open the door for me so that I can get in. And he does three, I've tried to make it easy for us to understand, but there's three D words that the enemy uses that I want us to talk about for just a few moments. The first D word that he does is that he deceives. The devil deceives us. Mm-hmm. And the devil can use anything and anyone to deceive. He can use family members that press on your emotions. Well, if you really loved me, If you really cared for me, then you would do this, or you would come be here for this, or you wouldn't go to church on Sunday. You'd come to your we're grandparents, so I'm going to use this. You'd come to your granddaughter's recital instead of going to church. When that granddaughter needs to see their grandparents are not going to miss God's house for anything. And The devil just finds little doors. He finds little ways to deceive us. Now, that's just the first thing that came to my mind. But there's all kinds of ways that the devil deceives people. And the devil, I said it already, he's a liar. He's a liar, and he knows how to manipulate our feelings. He knows how to manipulate our circumstances. He knows how to manipulate our family members, our friends, our jobs. Well, you got to remember that people that are not serving the Lord can be manipulated in any way they want to by the devil. And the devil uses things to get closer and closer and closer and closer until finally we've opened the door. Uh-huh. And once we open that door, sickness can come in. Torment can come in.
Right.
Depression can come in. Discouragement can come in. Financial issues can come in. And everything and anything you can think of once you've opened the door, because you've been deceived by the devil. You know, we think of deception. We think of deception as being some, you know, voodoo, black magic arts type of thing. That's not deception. The devil uses things that are close to you. He uses things that you care about.
Things that he doesn't intend for you to recognize.
Well, that's the whole purpose. But that's why Jesus said, he said the cares of life, the love of other things, even the deceitfulness of riches. He said these things keep you from having a harvest. These things keep you from pleasing God. Mm-hmm. So you get no harvest. And if you don't get a harvest, then what are you doing? You're opening a door to the devil. You're opening a door for the tares to come in, as Jesus called them, and to destroy your harvest. Because you've allowed the devil to deceive you. And again, I can promise you that it's not going to be those things that you sit there and say, well, I'm not going to let the devil do this. I'm not going to let the devil do this. These big areas, he finds little foxes.
Right.
He finds little things. He finds a television show that you feel like you just can't miss because everyone else is watching it. Boy, I felt it through the camera on that one.
It got real quiet.
I felt it through the camera on that one. He finds little doors. Oh, but I'm mature enough. I'm mature enough for that. No, no, no. It has nothing to do with whether you're mature enough.
It's opening the door.
It has to do whether you're pleasing God, mm-hmm, and you're opening the doors. You see, the devil finds things. He finds little places to get a crack in the door because he can't go in unless you let him in. He can't go in unless you let him in. And listen to me, none of us are perfect.
Right.
I know that. Right. I know that. As you hear, I'm sitting here and I've, you know, snotting everywhere and all that. We're not perfect, but yet we're going in that direction. Mm-hmm. We're moving in that direction. And I've said many times that we're not just looking to defeat cancer. We're looking to defeat the common cold.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Amen. Amen.
And it's going to take a group of people, a remnant people, and I pray you want to be a part of it. Come join us here. It's going to take a group of people that said, Lord, we're going to shut every door. And a part of the deception is this. The devil says, well, look, you're sitting there with a cold yourself. So who are you to be telling people? But somebody has to say it before we can do it.
Right, right.
So don't say, well, nothing's perfect in my life. No, no, it's not now. But you got to start acting
now. Take little steps. Mm-hmm.
You got to start acting now.
You got to look beyond what you can see right in front of you in the physical.
And I always said the heritage that God has here, this heritage that goes back 160 years, God has always chosen us to be the ones to speak things beforehand. And I'm speaking it to you because the greater destruction is coming. Mm-hmm. But God wants his remnant ready. He wants it ready. So the devil comes and deceives.
And to speak things that are opposite of what the vast majority are speaking, because they're doing it out of the flesh. Like 1 Peter 5, when you start talking about the way that the enemy works, immediately made me think of 1 Peter 5, where verse 8, it opens up with, be sober, be vigilant.
Yeah.
Because your adversary, the devil, goes about. But that be sober, be vigilant, that's the opposite of what the pervasive idea is going on right now.
That's right.
That pervasive idea that's going around is be carefree.
Yes.
Take it easy. Take it easy.
Just be carefree. Sit back and self-love, you know, even in Christian circles, even among, you know, the small group studies and, you know, hey, let's see how much we can talk about just love each other. Just take it easy. Just be carefree. Don't worry about things.
Yes.
But verse 8 says, be sober, be vigilant. Well, not be looking around for ways that I can recreate and ways that I can just have fun and kick back.
Well,
that's the opposite.
As you pass by, and you know I like to do this. I like to talk about this. But as you pass by the signs, local churches, and I'm sure it is wherever you're watching, it's the same thing. They flash on their signs, you are somebody. You are special. You are, and I'm thinking to myself, this is God's house. How come the sign doesn't, how come we're not extolling the praises of our God and virtues of our God? No, but everyone wants to appeal to, just take care of yourself. You're important. Just take care of yourself. Just like you said, just love on yourself. And if you don't do it, we'll do it for you. Welcome home. Welcome home. This is home. Welcome home. No, it's God's house. Where is the fear of our God? Because the Bible says that fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. So if you don't have the proper fear of the Lord, you can't even get started. Because it's the beginning of knowledge. Everything after that, you've done wrong. Because if you don't start with the fear of the Lord, but let's just, you're such a good person. You're such a good person. You've got good qualities you're such a good person. That's the way the church treats people now. But real love tries to pull people out of the fire, even with the fear of the Lord. Well, we've kind of gotten off track a little bit, which is okay. We have no notes to go by. We're just talking. But let me jump in.
Deception, and now you're going
to. Deception number two. The devil, another D word. He tries to distort. He tries to make you. He uses your own eyes against you.
Such a big one.
And you know, that's why the Apostle Paul said this. He said, do not look. You can't be more straightforward. He said, do not look at what is seen. He said, because those things are temporary. He said, look at what is unseen, because those things are eternal. If you're dealing with the temporary seen things, then the devil can manipulate you. Hmm. He distorts it with whatever you see. And as remnant people, we've got to be better. We've got to be better than what the church is now. We've got to be better than what the rest of the Christians are right now. We have to be better. We have to say, no, we're not going down that path of doing things by what we see. And if you understand what I'm saying, then you also understand that for the vast majority of Christianity, the devil has distorted things. He has distorted it based on how you view things. Well, this is what I see. And so because you see it, you act on it. And God says, you're not even supposed to be looking. It's all throughout the Word of God. that you're not even supposed to be looking, because the devil distorts things. Mm. He makes you see things in a manner that causes you to act against pleasing God. And you say, but I really saw it. And would God not want me to take care of this because I really saw it like this? Mm. And God says, no, you're not even supposed to be looking. Because the devil comes and he tries to distort things in your life. And again, he uses people that are close to you. I've had so many times, times in this ministry where people would come and say, I have to take care of these family members. I have to take care of these people that are close to me. But they never realized that the devil was using them to distort things in their life. And it's sad because it eventually pulls them away from the remnant message. It pulls them out of it because they never understood that because they were looking with this, they were listening with these instead of looking with the spirit eyes and listening with the spirit ears. Because the devil distorts things. In the flesh, he distorts it. He can't do that in the spirit. But in the flesh, he distorts what you're seeing. He deceives you on one hand, but on the other hand, he says, you know what? I might not be able to deceive, but I can blurry up what they're seeing. I can make it blurry. Mm-hmm. I can make it to where they're not sure what they're seeing. I can make it so that they're not sure what they're hearing. I can make it so that there, you know, how many times did the devil, he tried to do it to Jesus.
Right.
Jesus, when he was tempted, he tried to use scripture against Jesus. He tried to distort it. He did against Adam and Eve. Mm-hmm. He took the words, yes, the things of God, and tried to distort it, and it worked. Mm-hmm. It worked. And it's been working ever since. You know, I talked about this last night, but what I've been called to by God with revelation and revelation knowledge, it makes me very aware when something is being distorted. Hmm. And my wife will tell you,
thank you, Lord,
that it drives me nuts. It does. I can't help it. Because I think about the people that are listening to the distorted things of God. Mm-hmm. They're listening, and it's not, you say, well, how's that different than deception? It's different because the devil just blurries it up. Mm-hmm. He'll take something that maybe even is found in the Word of God, and he'll blurry it up so that you open that door for him. So you can't allow the devil to deceive. But you can't allow the devil to distort.
Right.
You got to learn to close your eyes and say, God, I'm looking with the things of the Spirit. Because I promise you, when you're looking, when these are closed and your spirit man is open, things look a lot different. They look a lot different. You know, I ministered Wednesday night about when John had the angel come to him and said, look up there. And he looked, and there was a door standing open in heaven. And John was not able to receive the revelation until he walked through that door. Until he stepped up into that next realm. He had to get in, and the Bible says as soon as he went through that door, it says immediately he was in the spirit. And that's what the devil wants to keep us from. He wants to keep us from being in the spirit. He wants you looking at the door. He wants you talking about the door. He even wants you opening the door, but he doesn't want you going through the door. And doors, as I said on Wednesday night, doors are worthless if you don't go through them. If a door is just there to be a door, just to look good, it might as well just be a wall. Doors are only meaningful if you walk through it. And the devil wants to distort things so that you don't walk through the door. Because he knows if you walk through the door, all of a sudden you're seeing things differently. You're not seeing things with the flesh eyes. You're seeing things with the spirit eyes.
Reminds me of the story of Elisha and his servant.
Great example. And so I encourage you, you got to go through the door. Don't look at the door. Don't knock on, you know, the Bible says knock, but at some point the door is open and you got to go through it. Mm-hmm. Don't just stand there and keep knocking. God wants to open the door and he wants you to go through it. That's why we're doing what we're doing here. Come walk through the door with us here at the City on the Hill. Well, that's the first two. He deceives. He distracts.
Distorts,
number two. And number three, he distracts. Mm-hmm. Number three, he distracts. Deceives, distorts, and he distracts. If he can't deceive you, he'll try to distort. If he can't distort, he'll try to distract you. And again, as many of the same culprits that the devil tries to use. He tries to use circumstances. He tries to use people. He tries to use good things. Believe it or not, the devil uses good things mm-hmm. to distract you. Mm-hmm. And that's why I always say, we are not trying to do good here. We're trying to do the supernatural. Mm-hmm. And the book I wrote about the remnant, that was a major theme, is that you cannot allow the good to get in the way of the supernatural. Every religion on this earth, well, most religions on this earth, preach you got to do good. You got to do good. You got to show love. You have to do good things. Most religions do that so much so that now a lot of the churches said, well, they're preaching the same things we preach. So they might as well, they might just be just like us.
That's where the mixture comes into
play. Absolutely. And not understanding that the devil uses good things. He'll use good things to bring about what he wants to happen in your life. The devil doesn't care if you do something good. What he cares about is when you walk in the supernatural. He doesn't care if you do good things. Listen, I know that we are told, and I've been telling everyone here that I want to feed more people this Christmas. I want them to bring in food and toys. I want to do all that because that's a good thing, and the Bible talks about taking care of people. We want to do that, but do you think the devil cares if you're feeding the hungry? He doesn't care. What he cares about is when God's remnant takes their rightful place and becomes supernatural.
He doesn't want us to please God.
That's right.
That's because at the base of it.
Because if we please God, then we get into that place like Enoch, like Elijah. And they pleased God, so God, they never saw death. Well, the whole key is to please God so much that Jesus comes back.
Mm-hmm. We're basically saying that those doors that the devil's looking for, they're not all just doors that lead to sinful things. Sometimes it's a soft spot that you have in your heart for something that, like you said, is good, whether it be a poor person, whether it be a hungry person. The devil will look for those soft spots and say, I can use one of those soft spots to make them think that they're doing something that pleases God when I'm actually distracting them, like he said, from doing what the Bible actually says is leading them to the supernatural. I'm distracting them from that.
That's right. That's right. And again, the church has so fallen for it in so many places that a lot of them are even saying, you know what? Let's not discount some of these religions that are doing the same things that we're doing. Mm-hmm. One of the things that's become really big, and I heard it just this week from another church, is they say there are many paths to God. Mm-hmm. That's so unbiblical. But at this point, they've gotten to where they don't even know what biblical is anymore. But that's what happens. When you allow the devil to deceive and distort and distract, you eventually, like she said, you only start a little bit off, but then you get further and further and further and further to where you can't even see it.
It could take a long time because the devil's not afraid to play the long
game. He's not. He'll play the long game. But getting back to this last one, don't allow the devil to distract you. He'll use everything he can. He'll use everything he can. He will use, you know, listen, I've got three children and somewhere between four, five, six grandchildren. At this point, it's just We got a lot.
Five and a six on the way.
That's it. Thank you. So I know how they pull on your heartstrings. I know. But I also know that I tell my children who are adults now, but I say to them, there is nothing that will stop me from pleasing God. Nothing. And pleasing God, it starts with understanding what the anointing is about and where the anointing sits. I call us a Melchizedek church because of that. It's not the time for me to get into that now. But I need people to understand that the devil tries to distract you, and he'll use anything. I said this recently. He'll use you hitting your foot against something to distract you. He'll use, this past summer when it got really hot, we had a couple of days where we had trouble with our air. He'll use you having trouble with your AC during the hot days to bring distraction. He'll use whatever he can to bring distraction to you.
Your job?
Anything.
Your family?
Anything and anyone. But the remnant people have grown up past that, where they recognize, they say, devil, I'm not going to let it even come to that because I'm not looking anymore. I'm not listening anymore. I'm only on the highway of holiness, and I'm walking on the highway of holiness that the Bible says talks about, and that's why Hebrews 12 says, looking unto Jesus. Mm-hmm. That literally means to only look at Jesus. That's what the translation is. It means to only. It said, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. It says, let us run the race with endurance.
Amen.
Putting off the sins and the weights of our life, looking unto Jesus. You've got to only look and not look. You see, I say this all the time, and with this, I'm going to end. So if there's anything you want to add, it's not good enough just to say I'm looking at Jesus. You have to actually turn away from everything else. You have to do both. And you can't just turn away from everything, and you have to look at Jesus. You have to do both. You have to do both. Because if you don't, the devil will deceive, he will distort, and he will distract. He tries to get your attention. You'll be doing something. Hey, over here. And as soon as you turn, he has that foot in the door. And you say, I was just trying to do something good. I was just trying to do a good thing. But the devil uses good things against you. Mm-hmm. You don't need to go do good things. You need to please God. You need to please God. You need to please God.
You got to take your mind off the man-made idea of fairness, how if any of this sounds like it's unfair, you know, having to turn your eye away from somebody who may be hungry or may be poor, you know, your flesh may think that doesn't seem fair. But, you know, we say all the time that pleasing God and living in supernatural is not about fairness, because fairness is a man-made thing.
That's right.
Our God is not fair. He is just.
That's right. And again, let me just make this point, especially during this Christmas year season that's coming up. We want to do all the good things. We want to do it all. The Bible talks about doing it all. But it's not at the expense of it's not instead of pleasing God in the anointed things. It's not this is what I'm doing for God this Christmas. You do the good things because you're walking under the anointing already. Because you're already walking under the blood covenant. Because you're listening to the word of God that's being spoken by his prophetic people. And then you can say, okay, now I'm in a position to do those good things. Now I'm in a place to do it. But most people, people laugh when I say this, but 99% of Christians do those things instead of the anointed things.
They'll say, I've done my good thing for the day.
And that's not what the remnant does. Well, praise the Lord. Anything else that do we hit it all?
Just one little statement. All of this is a part of what we talked about a couple of weeks ago, being separate. It's all a part of being separate.
God will not allow not one drop of mixture. That's not, that's God. He does it. He does not allow mixture. He wants people that are separate, separate. That is a biblical principle that cannot be taken out of the Word of God. Praise God, Benji. Tell them everything.
You can catch us on our regular Sunday morning 11 a.m. services, Wednesday night 7 p.m. services in person here at the City on Hill Church in Loganville. They're also available on our online platforms, which include Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, the City on a Hill Church, or Koa Church. We got online functions coming every day of the week. If we don't have a service, we've got devotions coming on Monday, Thursday, and Saturday at 8 p.m. Remnant 101 with me on Tuesday at 8 p.m. Calling the Remnant podcasts like these every Friday at 8 p.m. Listen to those podcasts on Spotify, wherever else you can find any of your podcasts. Siri and Alexa can play these podcasts for you very easily. And remember, we always want to extend an invitation for you to come join us here at the City on a Hill in person and see what it is to pursue the supernatural.
Amen. Well, let's end with this. The Bible says that the devil walks around like a what? Like a roaring lion. What's he doing? Looking for those that he can devour.
Yeah.
If you don't understand that, then he's going to deceive you. If you don't understand that, he's going to distort and he's going to distract. You have to understand what the devil's trying to do, because if you don't, then you're going to fall for it. But instead, look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Let's run after him. God bless you. We'll see you next time.